The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It's our number two. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Except, you know what? I just did something fun. I just blocked a texter for the first time in about 2 years.
Hey.
I'm very happy about that. So,
what was he cranky about?
I don't want to get into it. I'm not going to give him any run.
Okay.
So, if you miss the first hour, a lot of Texans talk because DeAndre Hopkins came out and spoke about why he wanted out. And, of course, it comes back to Bill O'Brien, or is Palillo likes to call him Billy Bluster. that, and we talked a little bit about Tom Brady of the Bucks. So some sports, believe it or not, actual sports, but today, very busy day, but I got some cool stuff coming for Sports Map, just to let the people know. Tomorrow I've got a column just kind of on why we should enjoy draft talk for the next few days. And it's kind of got some worst case scenarios that I've been reading up from experts in terms of sports. So this might be our last chance to dive into Gronk and things like that for a while. And coming Thursday, John Long, who's a lawyer friend of mine, he's been on the show. He's big time blitzer, very good lawyer. He's one of the best NCAA compliance lawyers on the planet. Wrote a piece that's going to run Thursday on legally what it would take for the Texans to get back the Oilers' history and brand to use, for throwbacks or things like that.
Is it for sale?
No, it's not. And that's the thing. The lady who owns the Titans owns all the rights to it. And so nobody, and even she says it's kind of like an orphan because nobody's doing anything with it. So the Texans would have to purchase it, but it
she
could be done.
She doesn't want to sell it, probably.
I got the impression that she would. It's just I don't know that the McNairs want it,
So, I mean, yeah, what do they care?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it would be, and maybe it would buy you some goodwill right now because there's still a lot of people that love that stuff. But you can't buy Oilers gear on the Titans website. It's a really good story. It's long and in-depth and gets into all the legal stuff, and that's going to hit Thursday morning. So if you get a chance to read it, I highly recommend it. So spent some time working on that, and I am almost done with the final rewrite of the novel, so it'll be ready by the end of the week. Just got one more read-through to do after this. So very busy day. A lot of Sports Map and a lot of this. So trying to stay busy and probably working more right now than I was before, just to try to keep things going. And
all right.
We'll have another poker tournament on Saturday, so hopefully you guys can get involved with that. And we're just doing our best to keep things as normal as possible until they get normal again, which I don't know when that's going to be. So,
or if it's going to be.
What's that?
Or if it's going to be.
Yeah, I think that's the big question. And I hate that we're having to do some of the things we're doing. And even, even the wife and I had to sit down and figure out, okay, what if we only have one check? What are we going to do? And that's not stuff you want to have to think about, but realistically, do run a website called Sports Map, and we do a sports talk show. And what if there's no sports for 2020? So all of those things are unfortunate things you have to look at. But that's it's not fun. And you plan for the worst and hope for the best. And I still think the best is going to happen at some point. It just might not be, might not be in my lifetime. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Brady, did you see he got busted for working out in a park in Tampa that was closed?
Yes. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, he rents Derek Jeter's house and talk like he listening to him on Stern talk about the place. I mean, it's massive. I'm sure it's got enough of a yard, and he's got like apparently in Tampa, it's very rare to have any sort of real privacy, and what he's got there is he was saying his place in New England, you know, people couldn't just go up to his house. That wasn't a thing. Like you could, he had enough. He lived in a community that didn't allow people to just go up to his house. He had a gate, to his community. Then he had a gate to his home. His house is on a public street. So and obviously people know where it is. What he does have that most people in Tampa don't have are like massive privacy fences. Like I think 10-foot fences. That like walls, and apparently it's this huge grounds, and you would think that'd be the kind of place I'd want to work out, but I guess for whatever reason he felt like it was necessary to go to a park. I wonder if he got a ticket.
I don't think so. I think they just kind of made a joke out of it and said, hey, you can't do this. But you know, because he's Tom Brady, he's going to get away with whatever. I would think you'd have a great gym there. Maybe he just wanted to get away from the family. I don't know.
Well, I mean, a gym, I'm sure he's got a great gym, but I'm just thinking about for actually throwing the football. You may need some space, but I don't know. I don't know what his MO was.
BQ says, I've not been listening much because of the COVID. Where is this poker tournament on Saturday? All the information is on SportsMap. So go to the editor's picks on SportsMap. It's all online, and it's been really successful the first 2 weeks. And the hope is we will do we'll do one this week, and we'll do one next week. And at that point, if the restrictions have let up or people are back to doing things on the weekend, then we'll probably shut them down. But as long as we're locked up, and as long as people want to play, we'll keep putting them on, and it gives us something to do as well, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be playing this weekend.
This week's also hard for me because I'm going to have to write something for SportsMap on the Texans draft. I would say it's about 50-50. Because I mean, I can pay attention to the draft while I'm doing it, but I can't. I can't sit and try to craft a story. It's too much work. It's already pretty much the first 30 minutes of this thing I have to spend trying to figure out payouts.
Yeah.
So if I have to do that and then write a Texan story, it's probably, it's probably not going to make a lot of sense for me to play.
I think I'm going to be doing some of the deliveries for the Kobo's Q thing that Jerry and the Kobo's guys figured out on Saturday.
Very cool. That is such a great thing they did. And we've reached out to a couple other people to kind of do the same thing. So, which I think will happen. So we'll be talking about that soon too. There's the one positive to all this. There's a lot of good people in the city that are out doing a lot of good things, and I can't say enough about Kobo's. I mentioned how much Jerry Bowe has stepped up here with a lot of stuff, and a lot of the people we work with are out there doing great things, and a lot of our sponsors are still doing great things. So if you get a chance and you can, please keep supporting our sponsors, as they're why we're on air. And we've been able to keep some really good ones, and because of that, we're able to give you a free show. So if you get a chance, if you can, if you can't, it's totally understandable. Speaking of poker, did you see they finally postponed the World Series of Poker?
Yeah. Although Vegas is still like, we're gonna open back up. Our dealers are gonna wear masks. We're gonna be basically wiping down the dice after every roll. I mean, they're willing to do anything to get open and start getting people's money again.
Yeah. I don't think, as much as I love Vegas, I just don't think that's the first place people are going to go.
I don't either.
And I think, I'm glad they're pushing the World Series back because, I'm hoping to be able to go play a couple events when they do it in the fall. And, I don't know. I don't know what the situation's going to be at that point, but I mean, I think realistically, you're not going to be able to get that thing done this year. And I know Vegas is trying to, I know Vegas is trying really, really hard, but I mean, that I love casinos, but those things are germ fest to begin with.
Yep.
And I don't think wiping down the dice after every roll is going to do you any good.
That's all you need. A good wipe down.
But if I had to bet, I would say the World Series doesn't happen this year. And if it does, it's like December, you know, which, and I can't imagine, the numbers won't go down significantly.
Yeah. That might be your best chance to win it. Jump on it. If there's a field of like four, I mean, you get the same bracelet.
I'd like my chance. No, I would say, like, for instance, the senior tournament that I put, there were 6,000 buy-ins last year. I bet
especially older people. I bet it's a third of that.
Well, if that, I think you're probably looking at 1,000.
Yeah,
and I think I'd be happy with that. I mean, it's not you're not playing for the $600,000, but you know that's still 100,000 in a bracelet if you win it, and odds are better of winning the thing if there's only 1,000 people. So, I mean, it wouldn't stop me, but. I just think there'll be a lot of people who are scared, especially olds. And, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of guys that go spend the entire month playing as many events as possible. And that's, you know, those are guys who that's how they make their living. But I do think there's going to be people who are scared off. And, you know, until there's a cure for this damn thing.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is the number, 713-780-3776. If it's okay with you, I've got a couple things that I want to get to, and you can pick next segment if you like.
Okay, I've got some things too. I've got some sportsy things.
Well, I do too. I have a sportsy thing, and then I have a non-sportsy thing that kind of has me pissed off about Twitter. So I've got some props on the NFL draft, and I got that. So... I mean, and a bunch of other stuff, but those are two things I really want to make sure we get to at some point today.
I've got Oliver Luck suing Vince McMahon.
Got that too.
And I've got the Sugarland Skeeters and some one step closer to being a major league affiliate.
Really?
Ooh, yes, sir.
Good news. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll dive into some of that. There's still a lot more to get to. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Who's telling me lies?
She's opened up for the long run. The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, Mark D said, Fred, I was bitching about my hair getting long, and I thought about you and said I should stop. Thanks for still bringing it every day, guys. Yeah, hey, man, I'm getting that Lebowski look finally. I'm still using the same razor I've been using for a month. As long as I shave, like, first thing in the morning before it gets long, it's still working. So I'm not growing the beard out, but the hair's getting really long. Well, at some point, if this is another month, that razor's not going to work. And I haven't been able to order any new ones, so.
I shaved the first day that we did the show from home. I shaved clean, and I was like, you know what? Every once in a while I'll do that, and I like moisturize my face really good and exfoliate, do some lady things for my face, and I haven't shaved my beard or my head since. So I am, like, my beard hair is now touching the hair on the back of my neck. It's almost become like a helmet. and I am hoping by the time this is over to have a full-on Hulk Hogan haircut. That's my big goal.
You going to grow the mustache to go with it?
Oh, well, yeah. When I shave my beard, all I'm going to keep is the Fu Manchu. And first day back at work, I'm only wearing yellow underwear. And red boots.
Okay. So I like that. So
Nick likes it too.
Yeah, I've almost got to ponytail length on the hair.
Ooh, that's going to be super disgusting.
So yeah, that's probably the plan. When we do get back, is I'm going to dye it jet black and ponytail it. So that should give you guys plenty to make fun of.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just guessing June 1st. You know, but that's the optimist in me. But we'll see. 713-780-3776. So this story I wanted to get to is about, have you seen this Adam Driver story?
Is he the guy from, is he Kylo Ren?
Yeah, he's Kylo Ren. He's a weird dude. He doesn't you like think? People. I'm not really a fan of him. I thought that character was awful. He's done some other stuff that I like. He's Black Klansman. He was really good. But apparently, he joined the Marines after 9/11.
Okay.
And, which, you know what? I respect the hell out of that. He says, it wasn't against Muslims, it was we were attacked. I want to fight for my country against whoever that is.
Okay.
And now you got idiots calling him Islamophobic. And he's been canceled on social media with the Adam Driver is over party trend.
Okay.
I got to tell you people.
I guess I'm over also then, because I was in the Army during that same time.
If you're going to go after somebody who wants to protect our country and fight for our country, especially after 9/11, and
okay,
maybe some
canceled. Yeah,
maybe some of you idiots are just too young to remember this, and
that's the problem,
that's
is
case,
most of the people who are saying, most of the people who say they're going to cancel someone on social media weren't alive and not for 9/11, and if they were alive, they were a kid. So yeah, they don't know what it was like then. They don't know what the state of the country was. Yeah, they're ignorant to it. So that's I'm not surprised by it, but it's kind of the culture we live in now. You know, people are looking for a reason to go after people.
But you know what? To all you people, I say, hey man, bleep that. I mean, that's just, you're terrible human beings. And
hey man, fuck that.
Thank you. I mean, listen, I have no love for this guy, but I respect the hell out of that decision. And you know, I don't, I mean, hey, who did it? I mean, that's the thing. Who did it? Doesn't make you Islamophobic. It makes you, yeah. Somebody wants to go after anti-Americans who just want to kill us. So you people suck. Nick asking, where can we see what it looks like now? I'm going to do maybe this Sunday. I'm going to do the kind of, writing and communications online free workshop that I've been talking about doing. It just depends on if I get the novel done by the end of the week. But if so, I will not wear a hat. And you can see what it looks like now. But I might tweet something out later. It's getting pretty... it doesn't look like it's going to look because I haven't dyed it black yet. But, yeah, so we're going for the Vincent Vega look. Yeah, that's close.
I've come to find that my hair is about the same, like when it's grown out, is about the same as Jason Statham's. Like that's my pattern of baldness.
That's not bad.
But here's what I've also found. Jason Statham does a very smart thing, and he keeps it buzzed down and short, so it doesn't look ridiculous. Now mine is starting to look more like Jason Alexander Seinfeld era than Jason Statham, and that's the phases you have to go through. You have to be Jason Statham to be Jason Alexander to be Hulk Hogan, is what I'm finding.
Who do you think pulls more, Jason Statham or Jason Alexander?
Certainly Jason Statham. Yeah, no, okay. I don't think there's much doubt.
Although I bet during the Seinfeld years, Jason Alexander pulled like a fiend because that show was so big.
Yeah.
But, non-spoiler for you, but watched the season finale of Better Call Saul last night. And I'll just say, I've been fairly disappointed in this season. I think it's dragged out a little bit. I think
I've heard it's excellent.
Most critics love it. I think the last two episodes have been as good as they've done on the series. So okay. I think that makes up for a lot of the stuff. And Breaking Bad did that too. They had some episodes in the middle of seasons that where, you know, they were trying to be cute with things and it'd be artsy and it just didn't really work. And it kind of dragged things out because, again, you've got such great characters. But I like, I really like the way it ended. And I'm looking forward to the last season now.
So all right.
It's all I'll say with no spoilers is Kim Wexler is the wife we all need in these times.
She is a good woman, I feel, which is a rare thing in television shows. It's rare that, like, whoever the hero of the story is or the main character, usually his female counterpart is a giant pain in the ass, and you almost hope she dies, or you maybe just outright hope she dies.
Skylar White, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Skylar was one of the worst, certainly. I mean,
Carmelo Soprano.
Yeah, there's a lot of examples of, like, oh, my God, you got to get rid of her. Remember Rick's wife in the early seasons of Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she was the worst. She banged his best friend, and then she was still, like, a bitch. I mean, it's almost a pattern in these shows that the wives are a giant pain. And Kim is refreshing. She's a team player.
And, I mean, she just gets better and better and better. And the way it ends, you just, you know, and I don't think she's all that physically attractive, but
no.
Everything else about her makes her a 10. And as soon as when it ends, I'll be curious to get your thoughts, but if you had her in the 6 or 7 range, she's a 10 at the end.
All right.
So, but yeah, I and it's one of those things. I was really careful not to judge a season until I saw the whole thing, but it was dragging. But the last night and then last week, it's like, damn, I want more episodes now, which I wouldn't have told you a month ago. I'd have been like, all right, I'm ready for this to be over. All right, let's go to our man, Lawyer Dave. Speaking of great lawyers, and Kim Wexler may be the wife we all need, but Lawyer Dave is the lawyer we all need. What's going on, buddy?
Well, I am fighting through quite a bit of traffic today. Every day goes by, more people get on the road, and man, some people are so uptight, they are making some crazy moves.
Well, that's Houston drivers, and that means they're going to be in accidents, and if they're in an accident and they hit one of our blitzers, what do we do here, Dave?
They better dial Dave at 713-626-8900 or hit me up at lawyerdave.com or tweet me at lawyerdavelaw.
Yeah, and if you get an accident, car accident, 18-wheeler, if you're working right now and you have a slip and fall or a workplace accident and you can't afford to go to a doctor, well, guess what? If Dave takes your case, what's going to happen?
We're going to get into a doctor that they need for their particular injuries without any money up front. And if they don't have a way to get there because their car has been totaled by some 18-wheeler, we'll come and get them and take them to the doctor to be seen. Now, people are still getting hurt in all kinds of ways, and we help them all as best we can. If they're not in our particular field of expertise, we ship them to somebody who can help.
Yeah, and you don't charge for consultations, and there's not a dime out of their pocket until they win. And let's say I'm driving around, and I need to go somewhere, and some idiot has something fall out of the back of his truck, and I hit that. You can help me with something like that, right?
Oh, yeah. We just finished a blitzer's case who was on a motorcycle, and a mattress flew out of the back of the pickup truck, knocked him off, darn near killed him, and we were able to track down the truck and get the guy the compensation. Quite a bit of compensation for his very, very serious injuries.
All right. One more time, Dave. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
Well, let me tell you this, guys. We're getting calls from all over the state of Texas now, and we go all over the place. We got one from your hometown just yesterday, and here's what you got to do. If you have an accident of any kind, anywhere, and it's not your fault, call me, Lawyer Dave, 713-626-8900, or LawyerDave.com, or tweet me at LawyerDaveLaw. In any case, what happens when you get hurt? You better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. This is usually where we have Jerome Solomon, but I'm guessing he's busy today. Okay. Yeah, how are you holding up, Nick?
I'm holding up pretty good, man. I can't complain. No worries. No problems here, thankfully.
Good. Good. Brother Bear says Kim Wexler is the antithesis of Skyler. Very supportive and kind of a badass. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is the one character in the show. Well, there's a couple, you know, like Nacho and Lalo, part of Breaking Bad. Although... there was a throwaway reference to him that they kind of called back to that was pretty cool. But Kim's the one that we don't know what happens to. We know she wasn't in Breaking Bad. There was no reference to her in Breaking Bad. So, you know, I think that kind of adds to the intrigue. But
oh, yeah.
Man, what a...
Because there's going to be something big with her that leads to Saul going down the road that he does. So, yeah, I'm excited how they piece it all together one last season.
Yeah, well, it'll be nice when you get a chance to watch it, and we can talk about the ending. So,
all right. I watched the Jordan thing last night.
Oh, yeah, your thoughts?
I mean, there wasn't a lot of surprise to me. It's funny. Apparently, Twitter was unaware that Scottie Pippen was wildly underpaid most of his career.
Yeah, that was a huge story back at the time.
I mean, I was a little kid and I knew it, so I figured everybody just kind of knew. But yeah, it's. I didn't realize that was why he was sitting out. I didn't realize that's why, you know, the Bulls kind of fell apart. What was because of their general manager. I didn't know all that behind the scenes stuff, but I knew Scottie Pippen was wildly underpaid, and it's funny how much that impacted things in their last season.
Yeah, like I said, there really wasn't much that I wasn't aware of, so there wasn't a lot of new ground, but. I think it's cool for people who didn't live through that to kind of, you know, get a chance to see, hey, this is all this stuff went on. They basically told Phil Jackson, hey, you're gone at the end of the year for Tim Floyd.
What a foolish thing, right?
Yeah, well, it was, and at the time.
Like, no matter what happens, you could go 82-0, you're not going to be back here next year. That's just absurd.
Yeah, and it was. Very interesting that, at least to me, that, you know, the whole Jerry Krause thing, it was not common knowledge at the time that there was a big problem, but it's seeing it actually play out, it's a lot different. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to watch all 10 episodes. I don't know that I care that much, but I thought it was pretty good. And if it's something that you didn't, something you didn't get a chance to experience, then I think you'll learn a lot about what that team was like. And it's also kind of funny that Jordan agreed to do this the day the Cavs were having their parade. So I think maybe LeBron indirectly had something to do with Jordan agreeing to be a part of this thing.
Yeah.
And it would be cool if Jerry Krause were still alive to try to get his side of it. But,
yeah, but I mean, it's pretty obvious he's a toad. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And somebody asks, as an organization, how do you handle a situation like Pippen's? He signed a long-term deal for his security. Renegotiate but not pay him his full worth. I mean, I think that's one thing. I mean, and Pippen did fine in his career. I mean, he made a lot of money after he left the Bulls that he didn't really earn. But. You know, I think that's a tough situation because even the owner was telling him, don't take this deal, and he did it. So, you know, I'm kind of the – now, those teams won so much and made so much money, I probably would have gone ahead and given him a new deal and tried to keep the guys together as long as I could. But I'm not all that sympathetic to him because it was his choice. It's just like when Andre Johnson kept trying to renegotiate his deal every year because – he signed a bad one. It's like, dude, you wanted that deal. So,
it's true.
Yeah.
But like Scotty says himself in that documentary, he's like, you know, I didn't feel like at the time I could gamble on myself. You know, I had too many people to take care of, which makes sense. But it's also like, dude, I mean, if you did 3 years for $9 million, you know, you've got $9 million. Is $9 million enough to take care for generation after generation after generation? Probably not, especially, you know, living the life of an NBA player and taking care of, you know, a bunch of special needs brother, a special needs father. But you do half of that deal, and his second contract would have been massive. But you know what? It also is a case of if Scottie Pippen had been paid what he was worth, would Dennis Rodman have been on the team? Would Tony Kukoc have been on the team? I don't know. Probably not, really.
Well, I do think that was pre-salary cap, so you certainly could have.
Right, but clearly the Bulls were a bunch of cheap asses. Were they going to pay that is the question.
Well, this guy's not a cheap ass. He's a legend. Well, maybe he's a little cheap since he hasn't played poker with us. Jerome Solomon joins us. And, Jerome, what's going on, man?
Yo.
Are you also...
Not
were
much. Also... And everybody is wrong about the Scottie Pippen thing, but hey, you know, that's just me.
What's the answer?
No, the thing that stands out in many ways is we're listening now to what Michael Jordan, and as I tweeted out earlier today, and him sitting there drinking tequila, calling Scottie selfish for back then, and we're hearing Reinsdorf talking about, well, that's what I do. I sign a contract. We don't change. But back then, the story was different, and that's where it's very weird. And we'll see as this documentary goes forward, but there's so much more that happened that we didn't even see, even to where they are now in the documentary. But like when Jordan, they renegotiated one of his contracts when he had 3 years left on it. So they're not against renegotiating. And the contract that Scotty, the bad one that we're talking about, that was renegotiated with a couple of years left on the previous one as well. So they had renegotiated before, and Fred knows this as well as anybody. Back then, that was the only way to get paid in the NBA, was to go in and renegotiate because the rookies were coming in, and this was pre-salary cap, so the rookies were coming in signing bigger contracts than the veterans, and they renegotiated. The one reason Jordan renegotiated his rookie deal was the Spurs signed David Robinson to a huge contract, even though he had to wait a whole another year before he came in, and Michael Jordan was going to be making less than David Robinson. The Bulls re-upped his deal. So it's back then it was a different world. Larry Bird had to threaten to retire to get a renegotiation. Hakeem Olajuwon had to threaten the general manager and the owner. And when I say threaten, I mean like literally.
Like physically, I will kill you?
Yes. Or at least beat the ass anyway. That was just the way it was in the league back then. So Scotty wanting more money and asking for it was not out of line with how they operate. It's crazy. And I can show you a quote, or you go to my Twitter feed. I tweeted out a quote that Michael Jordan said before Scotty signed that contract that everybody's talking about. Jordan said he deserves to be the second highest paid player in the league and maybe even more than me right now with the leverage that he should have. So he wasn't against Scotty renegotiating that time. So I will say that Jordan was probably just mad, like, hey, do whatever you got to do to negotiate, but when it comes time to play, show up and play.
Yeah, and one other thing that I always talk about, and you'll remember this, it's everybody thought Hakeem was this great sage guy, which he was at the end of his career, but early on, that guy was out of control, man. I mean, I can't say on air what his favorite thing to say to refs was, but he was a complete a-hole to deal with.
Oh, he was a mess, and until he really got back into his religion and had a bit of a transformation, he was like that. Yeah, he deserved more money every time he went in, but Charlie Thomas, the owner of the Rockets at the time, and the world was so much better than it is now. Players and people used to negotiate in the press. They would give us on-the-record quotes about, don't come to my office asking for more money kind of thing from the owner and general manager, you know. And that stuff is beautiful. You don't get that today. It almost didn't even matter how much they hate each other. But no, Olajuwon was off the rails. He was a different guy. He's a great basketball player. He's a great, great teammate if they gave him the ball when he demanded it. but otherwise, he was a mess to deal with. And Jordan was like that. And that's how those guys operated. And maybe they'll get to this at point because they're kind of doing a Jordan when he first came in, and then they're following that last season. But in that 91 season, before they won the title, Jordan and Jerry Krause were not speaking. And Jordan, on the record, was like, I'm glad he's not talking to me. That's all I wanted in the first place. And Jordan, on the record, if I was the general manager, we'd be much better off right now. Krause, on the record, players can't coach and players can't be general managers. I don't care what Michael says. Beautiful stuff. And I one of the things that I'm thinking is with these young players who are watching this and they want to be like Mike, start telling us what you really feel. Don't be like DeAndre Hopkins and tiptoe around it. Just come on and let us know, because it might not help you, but it'll help me.
I do think DeAndre had a few things to say that were interesting in that article, including the fact that he had no relationship with O'Brien. And he basically, without saying it, confirmed that Michael Irvin was right.
Right, and we all knew it. We've known it from the get go, because if it was not true, the Texans and or O'Brien would have immediately refuted it. And then last week on the conference call, on a Zoom conference call, O'Brien was asked that directly and said, "I'll have no comment on that." Obviously, if he had not brought up the Aaron Hernandez situation, he would have said, that's absolutely untrue, and I'll have no further comment. You know what I mean? So it's a given, and it's ridiculous, but that's O'Brien. He gets very emotional, and people who are emotional say things maybe that they don't even mean, because there's no way you could mean the same thing in talking about Aaron Hernandez and DeAndre Hopkins based on what we know, right? I'll give O'Brien the benefit of the doubt that he didn't mean it like it came out. But why would you say that anyway? If you knew you don't mean it, then that's emotional. People say things off the cuff, and like you said, based on what DeAndre said, when you say things like that to people you have no relationship with, you know, it's the same in situations where couples or whatever. You don't go to the real nasty until you know you don't have a relationship with that person and you don't care what they think anymore. You know what I mean? Fred knows better than anybody else. He's had 3.5 of those.
I have no comment
on the record.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wish O'Brien would come forward and say once, just, you know what? I could have handled that situation better. That's it.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that it's just not in his personality to do.
It's also very difficult to do when your back is against the wall and the world feels against you. It's hard to admit that you're in the wrong.
Yeah, I've never felt that way, and of course this is one of those outside looking in things. But I would think if I'm Bill O'Brien, my back's not against what wall? I'm in charge. I'm wealthy. I'm doing whatever I want. No, I don't have to answer to anybody. So what wall am I up against? I can say whatever the heck I want as long as I deliver on the field, or sort of deliver even, you know what I mean? So, but again, that's easy for me to say because my mind isn't thinking like his, because that's the difference in Tom Brady and a whole bunch of other quarterbacks. Tom Brady walked around for many years with the Patriots thinking his job was on the line, when we all know that was ridiculous, but he had to approach it that way to be who he is. And maybe Bill O'Brien has to approach it that way, but I don't, his back's not against the wall. I mean, and more people would come to his side if he said, hey, I messed that up, but we're moving forward. You know what I mean? And, but he won't, he just won't do it.
We talked about this early in the show. Does this make sense to you that if the Texans had the opportunity to get a big haul in return for Deshaun Watson, multiple first-round picks, maybe like two firsts and a third, something like that, does it make sense to do that now? Because it's been tough for the Texans to build a winner around Deshaun at a low quarterback salary, at a value salary. It's going to be almost impossible once you pay Tunsil and Deshaun and you don't have any future draft capital. Is it almost like, you know, and I know it's hard to imagine letting go of Deshaun, but does it almost make more sense to try and rebuild now that you've done some of the things that you've done?
My flat answer is hell no. That's ridiculous. Now, big picture-wise, yeah, you can defend that position if you want to, and you want to make that position up, and that's what NFL teams have done all along. But it's BS, and, of course, I'm very biased because I'm pro player. But answer this question for me, AJ. What team between 2015 and 2018, and I need to do the research to add 19 onto it, but between 2015 and 2018, four seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
What team paid the least amount of cash to players' salaries across the board?
Oh, I don't know.
The Houston Texans.
Okay.
The Houston Texans. The least amount of cash paid to players from 2015 to 2018. You know what that means? For a team that's selling out every game, for a team that's not having problems getting corporate sponsorships and all the other stuff that comes with it, that's the team that's not spending money because they set their budget where they set it. They can pay more. They choose not to. So, yeah, you can say they had difficulty building a competitive team. I don't think they've had difficulty. They've had difficulty making the right decisions. They've had difficulty in pulling out the check and writing checks for certain players or adding on when they could have and decided not to. So is that difficulty in putting together a team because you've had a low a quarterback who's not getting paid much, or you have difficulty putting together a good team because you don't know what the hell you're doing?
Well, I mean,
so, yeah,
I think you have to take that into account, that they don't know what the hell they're doing. So maybe it's best to try and start fresh.
You and I do. You and I do, but they don't take it into account because they think they know what they're doing.
Right.
So they're not going to face that reality and go, hey, you know what? Since we don't know what we're doing, let's trade our best, our most marketable player now, so maybe we'll get lucky and be better down the road. And again, I think picture-wise, that makes no sense. I mean, it's logically defendable or defensible on paper, but no, you could say that about the Rockets because it's real easy and probably accurate. You're never going to win a championship with James Harden as your best player. But that doesn't mean you trade James Harden and hope the next best player is the greatest player of all time and you get lucky and get him in the next two or three years. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Or do you roll with what you have? You might end up 3 years or 4 years or 5 years from now with zero titles, but wouldn't it have been much more entertaining with James Harden versus rookie number one, rookie number two, rookie number three, who don't turn out to be great either? You know what I mean? So I'm always with the go with the one that gets you there and gets you in the ballpark, and maybe you can hit a home run as opposed to you're not even in the stadium and hoping to get into it. I just when are you going to find another quarterback as good as Deshaun Watson? Over the next three drafts, there will be two or three guys, maybe, that will be better than Deshaun Watson career-wise. What are the odds of you getting one of those guys? You know what I mean?
You almost know that Trevor Lawrence is one of them, and the likelihood that you're going to have the number one pick is pretty low. So you can pretty much take that one off the book, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like I said, there's no question that over the next 3-4 years, there will be a guy or two that will be better than Deshaun Watson for the next 10 years.
But
can you get one of them?
Well, here's the thing. Let's say you get one that's not as good as Deshaun, but you can keep him on the cheap for the next 5 years versus having to pay Deshaun $40 million. Now, for your roster's sake, does it make more sense to have that lesser guy?
No, because again, you keep reloading the same game. You get that guy. He's not going to be as good as Deshaun is today until 4 years later. You get that guy. Then you got to get a guy who comes in and does the J.J. Watt because he's not going to be as good. And then you get a guy. You got to find a DeAndre Hopkins, and you got to – every other position, you have to do the same thing as well. You know what I mean? So you're a hamster on a wheel. you're reloading, but you're reloading in the same ballpark because I guarantee if you do that and you get that next guy, 3 years from now we'll be saying, well, he's only been in the league 2 years. He's getting better. And meanwhile, Deshaun Watson is gone to the Patriots and in the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, and you're like, it wouldn't happen in Houston. Well, no, but it damn sure ain't going to happen in Houston if he's not here. So I believe you keep what you have and do your best to get to build around it, not tear it. And you don't tear things down when you're in the mix. And I know it's a stretch to say they're in the mix, but
yeah,
they're not out
for
of
what?
The mix. You're in the midst because you were ahead of the Super Bowl winner by 24 points or whatever in the first half. That's the team that could have won that game.
But it's also a team that blew that lead tremendously, which puts you in a different category altogether.
Blew that lead, but there are only three or four teams maximum in the entire NFL that could have had that lead, and you're one of them. So you gotta believe the glass is half full, even if you're wrong. Versus, man, we're not good enough to beat the Chiefs. We might as well just tear it down and start all over. That's too far. Going too far.
Then why'd you trade DeAndre Hopkins?
That's the question.
Well, that's a whole another level of ridiculousness. And that's indefensible. It's certainly indefensible for what you got for him. My God, if you're going to trade that guy, fine. But make it a trade that we can argue about, that we can go, man, I couldn't pass that up. It was too enticing. But you made a trade for that. And Bill O'Brien said something last week in the conference call, and not many people jumped on it or said anything about it. You guys may not have even caught on to it because it wasn't really said, but he started off by saying, in making a trade for DeAndre Hopkins, the first thing you have to do is find a team that can pay him.
Long term, yeah. I did catch that. Find someone who's willing to give him the extension that he wants.
That's not how you make a trade.
Yeah, that's the least of my concerns.
That's between the team and DeAndre. They ain't got nothing to do with me. So you narrow your pool to that already. Then he said something else, that it took over 100 phone calls to make that trade. 100 phone calls between him and the Cardinals.
Yeah, and then eighty five of those were the Cardinals owner calling his buddies and laughing at Bill O'Brien. That's what it was. You're never going to believe this.
Do you think he made 100 phone calls with four other teams?
No.
Who has that kind of time? So he. There's no way he got the best deal because he didn't even try to get the best deal. He shorted himself by narrowing it to teams who could pay DeAndre as opposed to, let me trade him to the team that'll give me the most. Because there's some teams who would have given you more than they got, and on the off chance that DeAndre might give him a raise. And giving him a raise isn't really that big of a deal. Think about it. You don't even have to sign him long term if you're the team that trades for him. You can just go, you know what? We kick in another $4 or $5 million for the next couple of years and change the contract around. We got him for 2 years at a nice amount. We're good, right? So any team in the league could have done it. You didn't have to only get a team that had a huge amount of salary. It was just a bad negotiating entry point, and you got what you got. So you can't justify that trade by telling me that was the best you can do, because I know that's not the best you can do. And if it took you 100 phone calls to make that trade with the Cardinals, you should have been calling some other people.
That's Jerome Solomon. And, hey, before we let you go, Jerome, I think it'd be cool if you could track down Deshaun at some point and you know, find out what all this subtweeting and subtlety he's doing means, and talk to him about that.
I know there's something there, and somebody's going to get it. and I do hope it's me, but it is getting pretty interesting, I think. And the longer it goes, in fact, I guess it's better off for the Texans that this situation has given them some social distancing, because it would have been difficult, I think, for Deshaun to answer questions about D-Hop a month ago, you know. And so he's been able to hide away, step away, and now when he finally does get to talk, or not get to, he can talk anytime he wants, but when he has to talk, when there is an official press conference and a, you know, meeting with them, I mean, by then he'll have calmed down, you know what I mean? And so I don't know if we'll ever get what his true feelings are on the situation, and that's good for the Texans and Bill O'Brien, because if we got him when it was hot, day of, for instance, he may have said something where they would have no choice but to decide on where his future might be. But by the time he gets to talk, cooler heads will have prevailed, and they may have thrown $40 million at him, like you say, AJ. And you throw $40 million at me, I'll be real quiet.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Catch him in the Chronicle. You can catch him on Sunday nights. You can catch him on Sunday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5. Jerome, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas. Later.
All right, quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.